Yes, you are, and you're a big part of the show. That's right. You write to us at MyNorthWest.com, although Andrew says, don't bother. You come in through the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. All are welcome. One is chosen for Letter of the Day. That's bestowed upon great honor. It's bestowed upon you and your family by the Teen Family in the Pickle Jar. Welcome all, one and all, to the show. John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. So many plugs here. John and Sherry Instagram page. John and Sherry Show Instagram page. Joe's always putting stuff up there. All right, that takes care of all of that. How's my new camera? Do I look good? Do I look kind?
Looks fantastic.
You see the new light I got? Here's my old light. Old light. Yeah, I really kind of moved up in there.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, your light sucks. You have bad lighting. I'm like, I don't know why. It's a tractor light.
Yeah. Is that a pig or a cow there by the tractor?
I had to put a bag in there. See the baggie in there to knock it so it wasn't too bright? Because it's too bright, right? It's the tractor light. And then Mr. Pig's on there. In the back.
Yeah, Mr. Pig. I'm not sure that a plastic bag is a good thing to put near a light bulb.
Oh, that's hot.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
All right.
But you look bright. You look good.
Thank you.
Is the beard coming in?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Nick likes it.
Good. Yeah.
Let's see. Biden is so old school. Like, it used to do a rotary speech. He's been doing speeches since he was, like, in his 20s, right? He'd go to different places, breakfast and lunch. They just make up whatever story you want because nobody's ever going to check it. Then they, like, the late in the 90s, a Nexus Lexus search. Remember, that was a big deal before you could go on the internet? People were like, a Nexus Lexus search on things to track things down. So he's been telling these tall tales for as long as he possibly can. He got caught in the late 80s when he's running for president. And they're like, this guy's a liar. He's making stories up, stealing other people's lives, you know, just picking up entire portions of people's speeches. And they busted him on it and said he was just a liar. He just makes stuff up, you know. But he comes back around again. They had no other choice. They didn't want to get Bernie in there, so they get Joe in there. So he's still doing it. I don't know whoever's working with him must be like, hey, Mr. President, just don't tell that story about your house burning down and your dad seeing a couple of guys kissing one another. It's just they know these stories aren't true. So he's got a new one. He was talking to these guys in Pittsburgh. I don't know why he brought it up, but like, let's see, where is it? Where is it? What do you got it under, Joe? Oh, Biden's confused. Is it the one about the, not that one, where's the one about, do you have the one about his uncle being eaten?
Yes, no, Ambrose J. Finnegan.
I couldn't find sound on that one.
Oh, I saw the sound. That's okay, right. Joe. Go back to sleep. yeah, so he's talking about how his uncle was in the war and was flying one of those single engine planes and went down and landed. Where is it? Sri Lanka? Where was it he said he was?
In New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they never found him. You know, and there's cannibals there. They never found his body or his remains. And they sort of alluded to the fact that, you know, they had cannibalism back then. So, you know, they probably got eaten or something. So it's like, White House is like, no, that's not the case. It's a twin engine jet or plane. It went down. There were four people on board, and they think he went into the water, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. So well, it was, yes, sort of. He was not the pilot of the plane. He was a passenger.
Right.
He was actually a courier.
Yes.
And the engine suffered, it suffered engine failure. Plane went down, no sign of anybody, and he said that his uncle flew some reconnaissance missions, which probably wasn't true. His name was Ambrose J. Finnegan, and he made this speech in Scranton, Pennsylvania. But yeah, the fact checking was in high gear after this one.
He's like, Aunt Tootie and. I remember a time that she was on this big, big luxury liner, and it got hit by a wave, and it flipped over, and she went into the water to swim across. She had to hold her breath for a minute, and she came up to the other side, and she was able to save actor Gene Hackman, and then she died of a heart attack. And you're like, that was the Poseidon Adventure. That was Shelley Winters. I mean, just stuff. And my brother, he fell into a vat of chocolate. And he's in this, like, nope, that's Willy Wonka. Yeah, he's just coming up with stuff. No one's ever catching him on it. Just gets into that speech, his house burning down, his dad seeing people kissing, just nonsense. And then, here's the weird thing. If you're Iran or some other country and you hear him say stuff like this.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa.
They'd have a hard time not moving on Haifa because Haifa's in Israel.
It's not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
What? He meant Rafah, which is in Palestine. And I think what happens to him is he loses his train of thought during these speeches, and then his go-to are these old stories. And he just starts with those because I guess he can't come up with what he was supposed to say or whatever. So I don't think that his communications people are – I don't think that they're asleep at the wheel. I think he just does what he wants to do. And if he gets stuck, he just – it's a stream of consciousness.
Right. It's like the sad story, if you watch the interview, 60 Minutes did an interview with Glenn Campbell. He didn't know what day it was. He didn't even know that he had – Alzheimer's, but then we get on stage, he knew every single word of Gentle on My Mind. The same thing with Tony Bennett. They interviewed Tony Bennett, and again, it's sad, the ravages of dementia or Alzheimer's. Couldn't tell you what time of day, what city he was in, but he'd get up on that stage. I left my heart in San Francisco, knew every single word. So there's just parts of the brain that are so hardwired that you remember this stuff. So when he's getting lost, he just goes to the hardwire. The White House has been asked a number of times, are you going to debate Donald Trump? And they're making up excuses. There are I think there will be one debate because they got to do one, and it's going to be horrible, possibly for both, but really bad for Joe. And then they won't do another because right now what they're saying is he is such a despicable human being that even to be on stage with him diminishes, you know, the elegance and the integrity and the majesty and the beauty and the history of the president of the United States. So we're not even going to be standing on stage with that guy because even that, you know, elevates this common criminal. Well, that excuse is only going to last for so long. And eventually the American people are going to want to see, because if you don't show up, all of what they think is going to be begins to solidify in their mind that this guy is afraid and he can't stand on stage. He did convince a number of people when he stood up there at the State of the Union address and was able to stand for an hour and 50 minutes or an hour and 35 minutes and not fall down and read the teleprompter as best he possibly could. So at least people go, okay, well, there he is, right? But standing on stage for 2 hours asking questions at 9 o'clock at night, it'd be very difficult. And can the White House continue to sort of slip by this thing and fire off a bunch of excuses? What they're hoping maybe is Donald Trump's in jail at that time or unable to answer questions for some other reason. But American people are going to want to see it. And I'll tell you, everybody will tune in for that one. They will want to watch that. Like everybody wants to watch Jake Paul get his brains knocked out by Mike Tyson. Same sort of thing. People want to see it.
I don't know if you've heard this, but the networks, you know, Fox, NBC, all of them have gotten together and they sent a letter saying that they demand that there's at least one presidential debate, that they all want to, I guess, cover it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is allowed, but could he use, have you ever used an ear prompter? Actors use those every once in a while when they are trying to remember lines. And, you know, but I guess they'd have to use more of an IFB where someone would be giving him the answers in his ear and then he could repeat them.
Well, that was the sort of conspiracy theory that's going around a number of years ago. Somebody, and it wasn't for Joe Biden, it was for somebody else, I can't remember who it was. And they said, look at the bulge in the back of the person's jacket. It was like a box or something they'd seen back there, that somehow the guy was getting notes from somebody, that they were feeding him lines. I don't think it was Joe. I forget who it was that had that that everybody say, oh, yeah, somebody else is telling him what to say. Who was, remember that thing? Was that Bush or something? Look that one up, Joe. That it was somebody said, oh, they were getting help from an IFB, but or some device in the person's ear. It wouldn't help Joe because those when everybody's talking in your ear, it makes it even that much harder.
Yeah, so, even professionals have a tough time with that.
Yeah, the old ear prompt there. There was a famous king. He was a young child. I think he was in Spain or France, kid or who was, and he became king at the age of like 9 years old. He went absolutely insane and thought he was made of glass at one point. And then they made like costumes for him. He was the mad king of something, or I forget his name. They made like clothing for him so that if anybody touched him, he would not break into a million pieces. He was completely out of his mind. And everybody's just like thinking, that guy's in charge of our country? The crazy king something or other made of glass. If I had a laptop, if I had a producer, he'd be typing right now.
Well, I have been typing. By the way,
typing Wiley.
It was Biden that was accused of wearing an earpiece in a 2020 debate with Trump, but it turned out that the photos were doctored. At least that's what the sort of came.
They're going to do a lot of that. Okay, good to know.
What are we doing, Mad King?
I don't know who the Mad King is for me.
Okay,
Mad King.
So Charles the
Mad King made of glass.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy was completely out of his mind. So, but it doesn't make people feel any better. Yeah, Joe Biden is obviously not there, but people in a poll, I guess this is who'd you rather have a beer with. Now there's a new list. This is getting down to who would win in a series of bizarre challenges, Trump and Biden. Now we know in a hot dog eating contest, they have Trump winning the hot dog eating contest. What were some of the other matchups that people had in place?
Well, Trump would win by about 58%. 58% said Trump would win, and Biden was only like at 30% or something like that. Now, Biden, here are the things that he scored high on, right? That they believe in a contest between the two of them, Biden would win this.
Yeah.
Teaching a beginner's cooking class. House sitting. Mm-hmm. And changing a baby's diaper. Trump would win fighting a mid-sized dog, which Monopoly and hot dogs.
Uh-huh.
Now, I interviewed Donald Trump. He used to come on our show when he was promoting The Apprentice. And he would come on every week. And his wife, Melania, was pregnant with their son. And so she was getting ready to give birth, and he was talking a little bit about it. And I said to him, well, are you going to be a hands-on dad? Are you going to do things like change diapers and things like that?
Uh-huh.
And he, like, scoffed. He goes, I have people for that.
Yeah.
Well, of course he does. But, I mean, yeah. So I'd say Joe Biden.
Yeah. Sorry. Let me just tell you something right now. Yeah. But it's not a badge of honor to be changing diapers. You should do it. Because why should you make your wife do it all the time? But it is not it's not one of those chores that anyone relishes. And we used to, Lace and I would alternate on those. It's like, you got that bomb. It's like, oh my God. And there would be days you're like, whoa. But I have no shame of reaching in and getting the wipes. I would reach into that thing, you know, pull one up at a time. I'd be like, Oh, and I get like 50 of them, and you grab their feet like a turkey, and you pull that thing, and then I would just put like 50 more, wipe it down. And we had this thing called the diaper genie or the diaper champ, and we'd fold up the little diaper all full of bull, and you'd stick it, and then you'd turn the handle, and it would push the diaper down into the thing, the diaper champ. And then every time, and it also had like this like air freshener sort of thing. But we were so busy because both kids were diapers at the same time because they were 10 and a half months apart. That one point we go to push the thing down and it wouldn't take another diaper. And we're like, oh, the champ is down. The champ is out. And then at that point, no one wanted to do this. You had to take the top off of it and, oh my God, pick the bag up. Yeah. Like, 78 pounds of just poop, kid poop, and like, oh my god, like running outside. Oh my Lord. Like, get it into the garbage can, because if not, then you come. If you didn't get it in the garbage can, I got it outside. I just couldn't take it. And then, like, 2 hours later, there's like six neighborhood dogs in there just like, hey! It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Dogs love that stuff.
Remember when they had cloth diapers only? I mean, that's really gross.
When was that?
I've got one on now.
That was a while ago, but yeah, they had cloth diapers and they had to rinse them out. Just thinking about it makes me sick.
And my mom used to say, she'd put the pin in her mouth. You hold the pin in your mouth and you get the pin, the big baby pin, the diaper pin thing. And we put our. Oh, and then we tried with our kids the something or other no diaper thing that your kid. Oh, what was it called? Elimination communication. We watched like all of these videos on it. We signed up for this stuff that your child will be able to tell you if they need to use the potty. It was 12 hours of just staring at your kid, and they would give you the indication that they needed. Then that way you never had to use diapers, because in other countries, they don't use diapers. Only in America. But your child will tell you elimination communication is important. We're sitting there staring at the child, looking at Charlie. She has to go. I don't know. She looks like she might have to go. And then all of a sudden, she'd right there. Oh, we missed the sign.
One form of communication.
Thank you, Sherry. And, I'm going to do that after I did the Garden of Buggies. Buggies Auto Service Center is with 50 or 16 locations. Been around for 54 years. That's Buggies. Buggies Auto Service Centers. Okay. Still talking about Caitlin's salary from the WNBA, and everybody gets a chance to weigh in on this. This is classic. People hate capitalism. They hate meritocracy. Why can't you make the same amount of money as someone else? It just gets down to simple numbers. I'd seen, was it Andrea Mitchell had something on it, and then she talked about it, and then here's Whoopi. Oh, God. Okay. By the way, full disclosure, we were season ticket holders for 4 years or 3 years for the WNBA. Sat front row, loved that team as they went to the championship when they won with Sue Bird and Lauren Jackson. Simone Edwards became a friend of ours, God rest her soul. And just we loved the WNBA. And when I said to my friend Todd Lewicki, when he said, well, have you ever been to a Seahawks game? I said, no. And he goes, why not? I said, we have season tickets to the Storm. We love going to the Storm. Why? I said, because they care that we're there. They care about every fan. The game ended, they would stay, meet the players. You'd meet the players, they meet the fans. They'd bring you out on the court. You could do this fun thing. You're dancing around with them. They're throwing T-shirts. Just there's this connection. Like, they're out there, and my presence at the game was – I felt instrumental. Like, everybody felt like, hey, if we stand up and cheer, there was like this tradition for the Storm that you don't sit down until they score the first point. We would stand there in the same thing in the first half. You don't sit down to the, we were all in it. You are cheering them to victory. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. WNBA, big fan. So now when Caitlin gets in there and they give her $76,000 and people are looking at it, you get people like Whoopi Goldberg, who has this brilliant comment.
Breakout college hoop superstar and number one draft pick Caitlin Clark just signed with the NBA's Indiana Fever.
WNBA.
Are you ready? $76,000. Yes. In fact, the entire... listen to me. The entire Fever payroll is $1.2 million.
Less.
That is less than the minimum salary for a single NBA player with a year's experience. So the women have the headlines, they have the fans, they have the viewers. When the hell are they going to get paid? I don't understand why, because ESPN, who we work for, also part of the Disney thing, they came in and swooped in and said, oh, okay, we're going to start to do this. I don't understand why they didn't say, and I know that there's a re-up coming.
There is.
Mm-hmm. But they should have, they should have kissed this deal by taking care of all of the WNBA and giving them enough money for a bump up, because you know you have another deal to make.
Where to start? I'm like a fat man looking at a big bone-in ham with pineapple all over it. I can't wait to chew on this.
Oh, boy.
Why do they give Whoopi Goldberg $8 million a year? Why does Whoopi get that? Because people watch Whoopi. There are people that are doing the same thing Whoopi's doing in some small market in Fort Wayne, Indiana at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that person's making $22,000 a year. Why does Whoopi get $8 million? This is such a stupid argument. First of all, the WNBA plays 36 games. The guys play 82 games. More people watch the men than watch the women. More people go to the men's game than go to the women's game. You just have more people that are excited to watch men play basketball than women play basketball. There's 6 to 7 dunks a game. There's been 28 dunks in the entire history of the WNBA. People are the ones that make the decision as to what they're going to watch and what they're going to spend their money on. The fact that she's making $76,000, that's what she's making because that's what the market can afford for her. The WNBA has never made any money. It loses money every year. And the NBA helps support them by giving them money so it's not a losing cause every year. Maybe this will be it. Maybe more people will tune in. But the biggest problem the WNBA has, they play in the summer. And I used to say to, it's all Sue Bird and stuff. It's, we got to get more people in the stands. But on those hot summer days, those beautiful summer days, we had so few of them in Seattle. People, they weren't so quick to go in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to the Key Arena and watch them play. I wanted to see them play. I didn't care. I would give up a sunny day. But in the summer, it's a different story. So it's just the numbers don't add up. But people make these arguments, and Andrea Mitchell, and they're all saying, this is an example of this, where's the discrepancy and it's discrimination.
Caitlin Clark's record-breaking streak continues with what could be the most watched WNBA draft ever. Clark stands to make millions from endorsements, but fans are outraged over the massive gender pay gap in her salary. Oh. Clark will reportedly earn, get this, $76,000.
What do you make, Andrea Mitchell? What are they paying you? It's a numbers game. It's so simple, right? She's all up, get this. I'm sure she ad-libbed that. She's only making $76,000.
Well, I also think it's relative to what their budget is. Their budget is only $1.2 million. So if they don't have the budget, they can't pay anybody much more than that. And she is going to make millions. She got a deal with Nike for $20 million. She's not going to starve. Yeah, I know. I mean, and so as this becomes more popular, maybe they will increase the WNBA budget and therefore more people can get paid, but are paid more. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't have the popularity and it doesn't have the selling ability of the NBA. That's just a fact.
Right. And see, people don't like facts. People like feelings. And this feels wrong to them. So they want their feelings to somehow be justified by ignoring the facts, like the fact of how many people tune into an NBA game. Right. And how many people? So 2 million people watch on television, 200,000 watch when women play. How much money the NBA makes compared to the WNBA, how many dunks there are. I wrote all this stuff down.
Well, here's another thing.
It's just sad. But like, how about this? Triple-A baseball. Those guys are double-A baseball. They play like 138 games. You know how much money they make a month? $1,200. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of baseball for $1,200. Well, they're hoping, they make it up to the majors, and then they're playing, they get paid more money. But you're working your way up to the WNBA. Right now, the money doesn't support somebody being paid more.
Well, they also have a players' union that negotiates these contracts in advance. And the rookies this year, that's what they make. It's a rookie contract. There's no difference between her and any other. That's the most they can make. Next year, it's going to be $78,000. In 2025, it's going to be $85,000. In 2026, it'll be $97,000. And that's what she would have gotten if she was drafted in any of those years.
Right. So the next year, she'll be able to get more money if they've got more money. But right now, that's what they're paying. But
that's just a rookie contract. Yeah. We didn't know before she got that before her salary was announced. That's as much as it could have been.
And because she is in the NBA, the WNBA, she has access to all of these endorsements, which will certainly pay off for her. Right. So the salary is I get it. They say that the average rookie player on with the NBA is making like $12 million or something.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And this disparity is huge. But it's, like you said, it's the fact that you can't necessarily, the profit isn't there for them. And maybe it will
it's
be.
Never
maybe
been there. Start. They don't make it. That thing doesn't make money. It loses money.
She had.
Loses,
she got offered
like $10 million a year.
She was offered $5 million to, instead of going to the WNBA, go to the Big Three, which is Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league that nobody watches,
yeah.
And it's in desperate, dire straits. She could have taken that, but she knew by going to the WNBA, she could sign this Nike deal. She could do ads for State Farm and Subway and everything else, and she's pulling in $20, $30, $40 million outside of her salary.
Yeah. Jeez, look at Joe.
Wow.
Huh? I'll take Joe. All right. Okay. There we go. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. No, no. No.
No. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Come up with a new wonder drug, and then people start abusing it, Sherry. That Ozempic, right? It rewires your brain, stops you from having signals from your gut to your brain to tell you to keep eating, and it stops when it comes to how you process sugar. It's been working. It's a marvelous, marvelous drug for people, but now people are getting it, and then they're abusing it, and then it's causing some, what's the new expression that people have when it comes to the
It's
Ozempic face or something.
Ozempic, but there's Ozempic face. There's Ozempic butt. There's Ozempic finger. Ozempic brain and Ozempic personality, or an Ozempic face.
Okay, well, let's do the butt the finger first.
I don't know what that one is. I was just reading about it, and I was reading the different the lists of things. The one that this article was about in the New York Post was this Ozempic brain. Now, as you know, Ozempic is for diabetes, and so it sort of impacts your dopamine levels. Dopamine is the drug or the thing in your brain, the hormone, I guess, that is about pleasure
drug.
Pleasure, motivation, all of those things. So when that, when you don't have that anymore, and you don't want to, it's also very good for addiction. So it's, if you don't have that pleasure thing of eating a lot or drinking a lot or whatever it is, these are all coping mechanisms. These are what people use. Mm-hmm. And when that's gone, a lot of times people become very depressed. They could become anxious.
Right.
They have suicidal thoughts. Their whole life is different. Because they don't have that thing anymore, that crutch. And then Ozempic face is when people have taken it, and you see this sometimes, like Al Roker, right? You know, he lost all that weight. He got the bariatric surgery. But his face is very drawn. And so when people lose too much weight, Sharon Osbourne is one of them. She couldn't stop losing weight. She got down to 97 pounds. And...
Ooh,
Yeah, so she's got that very drawn, gaunt look. John Goodman lost 200 pounds, although he said he did it by walking his dog. Please, but
walking his dog to the bariatric surgeon.
Right. So it's kind of a dicey thing. Yeah, you want to look better, but you may.
But what's the butt part? What's the butt thing? Is it all saggy?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It just kind of you lose. You know, you use muscle mass and fat, so things are going to drop a little.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Sherry, for that. Beauty tips from Sherry.
I'm going to look up Ozempic finger because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to catch you off guard there. But anytime you can take a shot at Al Roker, boy, look out.
He is an angry man.
Field day on that guy.
Angry man.
Here we go. Here we go.
Not sure what the hostility comes from, but yeah, you can tell just beneath the surface. Oh, here it is. Users notice their finger and wrist side sizes shrinking, causing difficulty when it comes to jewelry. How about getting another size? How about taking a link out of that watch?
Wow. Where's the hot take for Sherry? She is just on a roll over there. There you are. A couple of them.
Huh? So I'm stepping figure. Oh, that's weight loss.
Oh, miss, I've got three nipples. I can say anything I want.
That is true.